Today we celebrate the solemnity of Corpus Christi, of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave to us in the Holy Eucharist at the Last Supper, providing us that sacrifice, that access to that same sacrifice that he was to offer the next day in bloody form on the cross at Calvary. And commanding us that we are to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And that's been one of the most controversial things of Jesus' teaching right from the get-go. We see from the gospel today, in the sixth chapter of John's gospel, the Bread of Life discourse, where Jesus begins teaching about this. And it's the first time, I think, or one of the first times, where we see people leaving Jesus rather than coming to Jesus. And large numbers of people leaving Jesus because of what he taught. And it's very interesting to see that Jesus did not quarrel with them. He didn't say, oh no, you got that wrong. He let them go because they got it right, actually. They understood what he was saying, which was that we are to eat his flesh and drink his blood. This feast of Corpus Christi actually comes out of another occasion of doubt about this teaching. In the Middle Ages, there was a priest who actually was from Prague and was experiencing severe doubts about the Eucharist, that the Eucharist really was the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. And he said, I need to go on a pilgrimage to Rome to help resolve these doubts that I'm having. And he was almost to Rome, actually. He was in a small city a little bit north of Rome called Bolsena. And he stopped there and he was offering Mass in the catacombs of that small city. They had catacombs there at the tomb of an early Christian martyr, St. Christina. And as he celebrated Mass at the elevation of the host started to bleed. And the drops of blood fell onto the corporal, the piece of linen that is on the altar where you celebrate Mass. And the blood dropped onto the... needless to say, his doubts were resolved, okay? He could finish that pilgrimage with without any more doubts. But it was at that particular moment in a nearby city called Orvieto is where... The popes in those times would go in the summertime or when it was really hot in Rome. And a part of the papal household at that time was St. Thomas Aquinas. And so they brought this corporal to the pope. This particular pope, long story, but anyhow, this particular pope actually, before he was pope, had actually had a spiritual directee who had a sort of mystical experiences about the Eucharist. He was from Belgium, actually. And so, but again, long story. So he was very moved by this, and he said, we need to institute a feast just for the real presence of Jesus Christ, body and blood, soul and divinity, in the Holy Eucharist, where we can celebrate this. And so since St. Thomas Aquinas was there, he asked St. Thomas to write the prayers and hymns and things that would be a part of that feast. And that's where we get so many of those beautiful, like the beautiful sequence that we had before the Gospel, the Laudation, and all these other hymns, the Tantum Ergo, the O Salutaris. These are all things that St. Thomas Aquinas wrote for the Feast of Corpus Christi. Maybe the richest of them is one called the Adoro Te. I encourage you to go look at those poems and read them. They're beautiful poetry, but they're also very, very profound and powerful theology written in a very accessible sort of way. So I would encourage. So today is about, actually, we get this feast because of doubt, actually. But to resolve that doubt. In the readings that we have given to us today, the church gives us, shows us that actually God was preparing us for this revelation of Jesus Christ as the true bread come down from heaven to prepare us to be able to eat his flesh and drink his blood way, way, way back. I think it was St. Augustine, he said, there is nothing contained in the New Testament that is not prefigured in the Old Testament. And there's nothing that is not presented to us in the Old Testament that isn't fulfilled in the New Testament. And so when you look at the first reading takes us back to the time of the Exodus. You know, when the Israelites were wandering in the desert all that time, and they were fed miraculously by this manna that appeared every morning. It was a miraculous food. They had never had anything like this. And it came every single day, except on the Sabbath. The day before the Sabbath, you were supposed to go out and gather up 2 days' worth. God was keeping the Sabbath. I'm not going to have them work on the Sabbath. And then once they had entered in, we had this reading last week about Joshua. Once they had entered into the promised land and were eating of the fruit of the promised land, the manna stopped. But there's a very interesting thing here. He fed you with manna, a food unknown to you and your fathers, in order to show you that not by bread alone does one live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord. Well, now that's a very interesting connection that's being made right there, isn't it? Between the manna, this miraculous food that God sends down from heaven, and the Word of God. Do you see that connection that was just made? There's nothing really that would connect the manna with the Word of God except the Word of God, except God tells us that the manna is the word, like the Word of God, that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord. And that's what really sustains us. What we really need to live is the Word of God. Well, we find out, and it's interesting, you know, Jesus himself quotes that passage. Do you remember where Jesus quotes that particular passage? It's during the temptation. That first temptation, when the devil tells him to turn stones into bread. And he says, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Well, it's very interesting. How many words come from the mouth of God, actually? Actually, there's only one word that comes from the mouth of God, right? Who is that word? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So now God is playing a little fast with us again, because now he's making this connection between the Word and Jesus. The Word of God, God only has one word. It is Jesus. God saves. The person of Jesus Christ contains everything that God has to say to us. He is the fullness of revelation, Jesus himself. And so if we are to live by the word that comes from the mouth of God, that means that we are to live on Jesus. Just like the Israelites in the desert lived on the manna that came down, that miraculous food that came down from heaven. And this is the miraculous food that comes down to us on this altar, that miraculous food that came down for that priest in his doubts at the tomb of St. Christina in Bolsena. This miraculous food that comes down on every altar throughout the world. And where actually the Lord even stays with us in every tabernacle throughout the world to feed us. You know, I think that these are days, I was talking with the deacon a little bit before Mass, you know, about these sort of strange days that we find ourselves in. And I kept saying, you know, the One of the things that's difficult about these days, at least I find, is there's not really like a, there's not a, you know, a game plan, right? We don't really have a, we're having to kind of make it up as we go along. And that's a difficult way to live. In the natural order. But supernaturally and spiritually and interiorly, it is a very, very fruitful way to live. It's the way that God told the Israelites to live as they were going through the desert. They said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. I will give you the bread from heaven every morning. And it was there. But do you know, if you gathered up more than one day's worth, it went bad. You could only gather up one day's worth, except the day before the Sabbath, then you could do two to cover the Sabbath as well. And that's what Jesus gives us. He is our, as we say in the Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. But this bread that isn't bread. The word in Greek actually is a sort of mysterious word. It's not a simple word like daily. It's usually translated super substantial. But it means it's something way beyond what we're expecting. Way more needed and necessary than ordinary food. And I find myself at these days when I am getting a little kind of frazzled on the natural level by the unpredictability of everything, by all the unexpected things that seem to keep happening, to find greater and greater and greater consolation in the bread of heaven. In the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the most holy sacrament of the altar. It was one of the reasons why I was so happy that during the time when we had to not have public masses, that we could live stream them at least. And it's one of the reasons why we had this crazy mass schedule on Sundays with mass every 2 hours. Because I think it's necessary for the life of the church. And it's perfectly reasonable for people not to be coming to Mass right now. And for many, many people, it's really the right thing to be doing. But for those who want to come to Mass and are able to, I think it's important that we're able to have Mass and that we're able to do so, you know, safely and comfortably, hopefully. Because this is the life of the world. This is what we need more than we need anything else. And so it needs to go on. It needs to go on no matter what. And so we come to rely on Him and to find our hope and joy and confidence and trust not in the circumstances of this world, but in the absolute assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us and dwells among us, is with us and feeds us. So one of the beautiful images St. Thomas Aquinas uses, I think it's in the Adoro Te, talks about that I don't know if this is really true about pelicans or not, but it was understood in the Middle Ages that a pelican will pierce its own breast with that great big long beak of it to feed its offspring from its own blood. And do you see how this was used as an image of Jesus? pierced and feeding us with his own blood. Because this is a food that does not fail, and this is a food that cannot fail. And it is the food that we long for. We're having a lot of first communions these days, and it's so beautiful to see these little children making their first communion with great devotion. Right up to the moment of your last Holy Communion, your viaticum, your food for the journey. Because it is truly not on bread that we live, but on the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, body and blood, soul and divinity, truly present in the sacrament of the altar.